Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Let's see if technology works. Could I ask someone, one of the ushers, maybe on this side, to dim the lights so that we can see the PowerPoint a little better? All right, I see Danny Peabody's moving up that way. Thank you. All right. Well, happy Sabbath. Glad to we can all be together on this day. I'm super excited about the chili cook-off that we're having today and the activity. Welcome to everybody joining us via the web. I'm excited about the chili cook-off. Those that know me know I'm not a very competitive person, so I don't care if I win or lose. Just as long as I beat Rudy Rangel, I'll be happy. He's been tough to live with ever since he won that crock pot a few years ago, and so he needs to be humbled. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. All right, thank you so much. 20 times in the New King James Version of the Bible, we are told to do things with all your heart, with all your heart. And we're so used to this saying that we don't even think it's a strange thing to say. How many literal things do you do every day with your heart? Not a whole lot. I do one thing every day, and it's pretty important. My heart pumps my blood. If you maybe wanted to know how many things I do every day with all my hands, that list would be much longer. I open things, I pull things, I push things, I pick things up, I set things down. I use it to eat, to mold, to hold, even to Hulk smash my little Delamater nephews. So why did the Bible choose to love God with all your heart? Why did the writers of the Old Testament use that word heart? Why not kidneys? Ancient Hebrew actually contained words for many of the organs that we have. One of the words that they used, and when they used these words, they often had interesting ideas also about what that organ did. One of those is kidneys, and they said that's where our emotions came from. They had a word for our gut and bowels, and that's where they believed our intuition came from. That's why we used the saying, I have a gut feeling about this. They have a word for stomach, the organ stomach, and that's where they thought all life came from. Makes sense. If you don't eat, you don't live. But do you know what organ is not found in the Bible and the ancient writers of the Old Testament did not have a word for? Our brain. They had no idea what that weird, wrinkly, gray, spongy, soft stuff that made up our inside our head, what it did. Today, we're going to look at the deep meaning of why they used the phrase, with all your heart, with all your heart. As I mentioned before, it's found in the Bible 20 times that we're told to do things with all your heart. We are told to seek God with all your heart. We're told to love God with all your heart. We're told to serve God, to obey God, to observe God's laws, his judgments, his statutes, to turn to God with all your heart, to trust God, to search for God, and to rejoice in God. Notice that on here is not to root for the Bengals with all your heart. That would just make us sad, right? But all these things are incredibly important. Notice that every single one of these things are incredibly important that it told us to do with our whole heart. The different cultures through time have had various ideas about how the body worked. They simply didn't have Wikipedia yet. During the Old Testament times, they had no idea how the brain functioned. In fact, early views of how the brain did function thought that it was simply cranial stuffing. It was filler. In ancient Egypt, when they were preparing to embalm someone for mummification, the brain was removed, but you know the one organ that they never took out? The heart. It was thought to be the center of a person's being and intelligence. And I got that from Wikipedia. So what did they believe the heart did? And then how can we then use that knowledge to better learn how to love God, to serve him, to obey him, to seek after him, and all the other things that we read on that list before. The Hebrew word for the heart is either levav or lev, and they're very closely tied to each other. One's basically a shortened version of the other. So what do these words mean? Well, let's look at a number of scriptures today, and the reason I chose to do a PowerPoint is because there was no way you were going to be able to turn to them, and in fact, we're not going to do deep dives into these scriptures, but they help give us the context of how these writers were using the words of heart and therefore what their meaning behind any time we read a scripture, all that went into that word. So one of the easy things for all of us to understand the heart is tied to is emotion. We still use heart in many of our sayings today to mean emotions. We say, this gift is from my heart. Or we tell people to follow your heart. We say, it's my heart's desire. Or when we're sad, I have a heavy heart. We might say, I didn't have the heart to tell them. Or it warms my heart. These are emotional sayings. Let's see how then the scripture uses the heart as a source of our emotions. Let's first look at sadness. This first one is from Psalms 34:18, and it said, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Notice a broken heart. How many times have we used that saying in our own lives? A broken heart. Another example of sadness is from Psalms 1 and verse 8. And then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Her heart was grieved because she didn't have a child. Next one we're going to look at is happiness and rejoicing. These emotions, they believe, stem from our heart. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 1 says, again, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Now her heart was the center of her rejoicing. Another example is from Proverbs 15 and verse 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. Let's look at another emotion. How about fear and distress? Nahum 2 and verse 10 says, the heart melts and the knees shake. Another example from Psalms 133 and verse 4. My heart within me is distressed. Notice all these sayings are tied to their belief of where emotions come from. And these are easy for us to often understand because this is where our modern language gets these uses and it's carried forward through time. But how about ways that we don't use our heart today? Ways that are different than how the Hebrew writers of the Old Testament used. One of those is, or the one we're going to focus on today, is for mental functions. Mental functions. They saw the heart as the source of intellect, of mental function, of the mind, of knowledge, of understanding, of thinking, of reflection, of memory, of wisdom, and even our choices. And again, we're going to look through a number of examples here to see how they believe the heart functioned. So first, let's look at thoughts. Genesis 6 and verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Thoughts originated in the heart. Next, think. Isaiah 10 and verse 7. Yet he does not mean so, nor does his heart think so. How about to know? Deuteronomy 8, verse 5. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Know in your heart. Another example is, I applied my heart, and this is Ecclesiastes 7, verse 25. I applied my heart to know. How about to understand? Isaiah 6 and verse 10. Lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Notice, they clearly saw what the eyes were for seeing, what the ears were for, they're for hearing, but understanding, they thought, came from the heart. wisdom. 1 Kings 10 and verse 24. Now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. That's where wisdom originated or was stored. Discernment. 1 Kings 3 and verse 9. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. So knowledge of this understanding heart was used for discernment. And the last one we'll look at is memory. Job 22 and verse 22 says, listen to his instructions and store them in your heart. Instruction is stored in the heart. It's where we place our memories. New King James says, and lay up his words in your heart. So what's the point? Why take the time to look at this? Besides, I find it interesting that there was no word for brain and they didn't understand what it did. But it's important that we understand the full meaning of the words that they use in the Bible, because they are intending to convey messages to us. And if we don't fully understand how they use that word, then we might miss part of that message. To love God with all of our hearts and to serve him, to seek him, to trust him, to obey him with all of our hearts, they simply aren't emotional responses. Emotional responses tend to fluctuate over time. They ebb and flow. One day we might be feeling passionate about something. We might be passionate about studying God's word, but then the next day we're not quite so passionate. So if we look at the source of our heart as, you know, what motivates us, then maybe our motivation ebbs and flows. But God wants us to love him with our whole entire being, with every thought we have, with how we think, with the knowledge we seek after to obtain, and in the right use of that knowledge, in how we apply wisdom, in the soundness of our actions and the decisions we make, yes, in our passions and our emotions as well, but very much with our brains and our minds. And when we understand the full meaning intended by the writers of the Old Testament, the scriptures continue to blossom in new ways, in much more rich and meaningful ways, because then we consider what God was saying was not just our heart, but our brains as well. And these are just some examples that you might want to consider. What did God say when he said, that David was a man after his own heart, or he wanted us to have a pure heart, or a circumcised heart? Now that we understand that they thought that was the source of all knowledge, all thought, all thinking, all understanding, it changes those and deepens the meaning of those scriptures. Brethren, when we seek after God with our whole heart, when we love him and obey him, when we do so by thinking about him, about pondering his ways, his plans, who he is, we do so by learning about him, what he tells us in his word, by working to understand every scripture that he gives us and his instructions, by working to store his truth in our memory, by then applying those thoughts and knowledge and discernment to help us discern between right and wrong, good and evil, to live wisely by applying all this together. As we study our Bibles, as we love and serve and seek after to obey God, may we understand this deep meaning behind doing this with all of our heart, and how this involves not only how we feel and our emotions, but with all of our mental capabilities, how we think, how we understand, and how we discern. May each day we love, serve, and obey God with all of our hearts, but also our brains.